and you can be seated. Thanks, Jake. Thanks, Darren and the band. Y'all put your hands together for Darren and the band for leading us in worship this morning. So welcome to Bethel, man. Let's just take a minute and welcome all of our online viewers. Put your hands together and let them know that we love them and we're glad they're joining us online today. So let me start just by saying this. Happy Father's Day today. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the place, the soon-to-be fathers, the want-to-be fathers. Like, I'll just be really honest and really real with you. Like, today, Father's Day is one of my favorite Sundays of the year because I actually believe with all of my heart that biblical, relational fatherhood will absolutely change the world we live in today. I really believe it will change our nation. I believe it will change our families. I believe it will change our churches. I just love speaking to fathers. How many of you fathers love being a father today? Say a good amen. Like, yeah, like, I mean, when I was a kid, when I had this desire. I wanted to be a father, man. I wanted to get married and I wanted to have some children and raise those children and be able to shape and form their lives. And so I just think fatherhood is so important. And so I'm just going to kind of talk to you today. We're going to read some scripture. I'm going to try to break down some scripture and just pray that the Lord would challenge you, fathers. The Lord would speak to you. The Lord would convince you, the Lord would encourage you and me as well. And so let's pray. We're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 13. It's going to be on the screen. Let's pray, and then I'll read the scripture, and we'll see what the Lord would say to us today. Father, you are a good, good father, and you are worthy of it all. Thank you that you're a father that is an example to each one of us who are also fathers. Thank you that you're a loving father, but you're also a father who will discipline and correct us as well. God, we just pray today that your Holy Spirit would anoint this place. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would anoint me to speak what you've laid on my heart, and I pray, Holy Spirit, you would open ears and make hearts receptive. Lord, let the word be real and relevant to us today. We love you, and Jesus' name, amen and amen. 2 Kings chapter 13, I'm going to read verses 14 through 19. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14 through 19. Now when Elisha had fallen sick with the illness of which he was to die, Joash, king of Israel, went down to him and wept before him, crying, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And Elisha said to him, take a bow and take the arrows. And so he took the bow and arrows. Then Elisha said to the king of Israel, draw the bow. And he drew it. And Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands. And then he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. And Elisha said, shoot. Everybody shout, shoot. Shoot. Then Elisha said, shoot. And so he shot. And he said, the Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Syria. For you shall fight the Syrians in Aphek until you have made an end of them. And he said to them, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground with them. And he struck the ground three times and stopped. Then the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times, then you would have struck down Syria until you had made an end of it. But now you will strike down Syria only three times. I love this story. I love this scenario. We've been in this series talking about the exceeding life of Elisha and how God just continued to use him and continued to perform miracles in his life and use him in such a great and mighty way. And as we read this text today, we see that this great prophet Elisha is on his deathbed. He's sick and he is about to die. He's about to leave this earth. You know, I got to be honest with you. When I read the story for the first time, that's something just sparked in my mind and sparked in my spirit. And here's what it was. Unfortunately, every one of us in this room are going to face our death on this earth. It's not much that we talk about because it's uncomfortable, because it brings some fear, because it is the unknown. But the fact of the matter is this, the one thing that we all have in common in here today, we're going to die at some point. Hebrews 9:27 says this. Hebrews 9:27 says, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that, comes judgment. When I hear a verse like that, when I think about my life is going to be over someday, it just makes me think a little bit harder. It makes me think a little bit more. It makes me think, what is the greatest priority in my life? What must I be doing? What must I focus on right now? Because if you're like me, we all think that we're going to get through with church today. We're going to go home and eat Father's Day lunch. We're going to get up tomorrow. We're going to go to work. We got this routine that we've always done. But the fact of the matter is, that's not going to happen one of these days. It's not going to happen for you and I. Our time is going to be up, and it makes me think, Cody, why are you so upset over this? Why is this bothering you so much? Why are you allowing the enemy to steal your peace? This is your life. Enjoy your life. Love your wife. Lead your kids. Honor your God. Do it now, because tomorrow is not promised. Elisha is laying on his deathbed. Elisha has been a driving force in the nation of Israel for the kingdom of God. He's healed the waters. He's multiplied the widow's oil. He's given these prophetic words that changed everything, and he's on his dying bed. And we see in this text, the king of Israel, his name was Joash. Joash is an ungodly king. He is not leading Israel in the ways of God. He is an ungodly king, but yet on Elisha's dying bed, the ungodly king says, I got to go get some wisdom from this guy before he's gone. Can I just tell you that the Spirit of God was so strong on Elisha that even the ungodly recognized it and knew he had something that they needed. And the ungodly king goes, and this visit seems to be have some sense of urgency. Joash is like, I've got to get there. I got to get some wisdom for this from this guy. And here's a question that's on the table for you and I. Are we living the life? Are we living the type of godly life full of wisdom and full of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that caused people to want to come to us because they want what we've got? Are we living that life that draws people in, even the ones that don't believe? Joash runs to Elisha's dying bed. And the Bible says this, Joash was crying over Elisha and his death. And Joash says these words to Elisha. When he goes in the room, picture with me, Elisha the old prophet with the anointing on him. He's laying in the bed, and Joash steps in the room. And the thing that Joash says is this, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. You say, Cody, what's the significance of those words? The significance of those words are this, that in 2 Kings 2:12, those are the very same words that Elisha said to Elijah, his spiritual father, when Elijah was taken unto heaven. What does that signify? That signifies this, that it was a generational blessing that was upon the life of Elisha. What happened in the life of Elisha started in the life of Elijah. Elijah dropped the mantle back down. The double portion of the Spirit came on Elisha. Elisha lived his life bringing glory to God. And now Elisha is about to die. See, it was three generations being passed down. Can I tell you that that's the way God intends for it to be? Can I tell you that if fathers really become good, godly, biblical fathers, that the next generation will receive the blessings of God and the next generation will receive the blessings of God? Fathers, do you understand the responsibility and the weight that is on your shoulders to pass down an anointing and a godly life to our children? The generational blessings, I'm just telling you, it's the way God intended it to be. Joash, the ungodly king, he needs some wisdom and he needs some guidance. And he goes to the old prophet, and the old prophet says, get out your bow and arrow. Get out your bow and arrow. Now, can I just tell you that in biblical times, the kings are not the ones that went to the battlefield. The kings are the ones that set home, they strategized, and they made a plan, and they sent the armies out. So this king, he didn't really know how to use a bow and arrow, but on Elisha's deathbed, he said, get out your bow and arrow. You know what that means to me? That means this. That is, we have to declare war on the world that's out there. That we have to declare war on the world that is out there. Fathers, can I challenge you fathers a minute? We need to challenge our sons and our daughters to declare war. We don't need any more little soft, little sissy, little young men and young women growing up in the church that have the victim mentality, that think that God owes them everything they pray. We need to raise up some sons and daughters out of this church to say, I will declare war. I will declare war on the enemy. I will fight the good fight. We need warriors in the kingdom of God. And it starts in the homes. And it starts with you, fathers. Starts with you. Starts with you teaching our sons and daughters to declare war. Declare war on their flesh. How many of you would say, the biggest battle I face is me? Come on, somebody. It's my flesh. It's my habits. It's my temper. It's my anger. It's my tongue. It's the way I think. We need to teach our children to declare war on their flesh. Okay, you say, Cody, how do I declare war? How do I teach my sons and daughters to declare war on their flesh? You know how you do it? By telling them no sometimes. Because if parents and fathers always say, yes, baby boy, yes, baby girl, yes, whatever you need, and if we're so interested in trying to give our children a better life than we are, and we tell them yes all the time, then they will never know how to fight and declare war on their flesh. But if we tell them no, you know, everybody practice, because some of you parents have never said this word. Are you ready? Go, no. When we tell our children no, when they want something, they submit to the authority of their father and their mother, and then they have to deny their flesh and go, my parents said no, for some reason I'm going to suppress my flesh in what I want. We have to teach them to declare war on their flesh. Teach them to declare war on the enemy. How many of you know this spiritual warfare thing is not a joke? How many of you know it's a fight every day of our lives? And here's what I believe. I don't believe that we need to raise up some passive children that are always on the defense and waiting on the enemy to shoot his fiery darts. We need to raise them up to say, devil, I come to declare that my God is God. And if God be for me, who shall be against me? We need some children that will storm the gates of hell and take back what the devil has stolen from us. Children to declare war on their flesh, on the enemy, and on the world. Let me just say this. In love, we've got to quit raising up children in the church that join in with what culture says is cool and what culture says is right. If they're going to be warriors, they're going to have something to stand on. And what we stand on is the word of Almighty God. We have to teach them to declare war, because this Christian life is a fight. It's a fight. If you ain't fighting, you probably ain't winning. It's a fight. Paul said it this way in 2 Timothy 2:3. 2 Timothy 2:3, Paul says this, therefore you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We are not some member of some elite Christian society. We are not a member of the church country club where we get what we want. Paul says you are going to have to endure some hardship. It's not always going to go the way we want it to go. The answer is not always going to be yes. We have to endure because we are soldiers in the army of God. We need to raise up some soldiers. I love what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7. At the end of Paul's life, you know what he said? I fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Fathers, we got to raise up our sons and daughters to be prepared to fight. Not only do we have to teach our sons and daughters, you know what we have to do? We have to show our sons and daughters how to be warriors. Show them, model it for them. Do life with them. How many of you know one of my favorite sayings is this? More is caught than is taught. They catch it. When they see you a warrior, when they see you stand for God, they will want to be like you. We have to live life with our kids. No matter what age they are, no matter how big they are still our kids, and every son and every daughter wants the approval of their father. I love this. We need to help them. We need to do things with them. We need to do life together. Jesse, come help me, please. Jesse's going to come help me today. Jesse, you little sexy son, buck. I'm just saying. Get on up here. Jesse's got a bow and an arrow today. Let me just tell you, Jesse has no idea how to shoot a bow and arrow. We've never shot them at my house. He's a lot like King Joash when he comes to me. He doesn't really know what to do. And what did Elisha say? He said to him, get you an arrow. Take that, son. Hold it right there on the black part. Because he doesn't know. I'm going to tell him. But now I'm going to show him. Take this little deal right here and put it on the string right there. Are you ready? Now, would I just say to Jesse, do it on your own, dude? No, I'm going to be like Elisha. The scripture says that Elisha took his hands and put them on the hands of Joash, and he showed him how to shoot the arrow. Can I tell you, fathers, you will be amazed at what your sons and daughters can do if we will just quit telling them, if we'll quit letting the preacher tell them, if we'll get down and do life with them and put our hands on their hands and teach them how to read the Word of God and teach them how to pray and teach them how to stand with some conviction and teach them to fight the good fight. We will be blown away at what our sons and daughters can accomplish if we'll do that. Thank you, Jesse. Look, I told you he didn't know what he's doing. Hey! I love what he said to him. Put his hands on him, he showed him. And then you know what he said next? He said, open that window. Open that window and shoot your arrow towards the nation of Syria. In biblical times, that was a way that you proved you were declaring war if you shot an arrow into the country you were declaring war on. Or if you took your spear and pointed it towards that country, it meant you were declaring battle. He said, open the window. Open the window. That doesn't seem like much. But can I tell you, I'm so afraid that our kids these days, when the window is shut or the gate is shut, or the door is shut, we just stop and we say, I can't shoot my arrow because it's closed in front of me. Elisha instructed him, open that window up. Now, how many of you have ever tried to open a window that maybe has been painted on the outside? Come on, somebody. And the paint is stuck and the window won't open. Sometimes you gotta dig your fingernails down in that thing and you gotta put for it. Sometimes you gotta go to the toolbox and get a screwdriver and stick it down in there. Sometimes you gotta go on the outside and chisel the paint away. But here's the point of the story. Don't let a closed window stop you from shooting your shot and declaring war. Teach your sons and daughters to persevere and do what you gotta do to get the window open and get the door open in their life. Because the enemy's good at shutting doors. Come on, somebody. But God's better at opening doors. God's better than using us. He said, open the window. And then he says this. Shoot your shot. Shoot your shot. Shoot the arrow towards Syria. Shoot the arrow towards the enemy. Take action. Notice this. Elisha didn't say, there's a perfect shot that you need to shoot. He didn't say, there's a bullseye out there, and if you hit the middle of that bullseye, you'll get victory. He said, shoot your shot in the right direction. And I'm going to tell you something. Some of us, we won't shoot our shot because it ain't perfect. Some of us are so eaten up with OCD and trying to figure this out and perfection, and if I get it wrong, I'm going to mess up, and I can't do this, and I got to take a little bit longer. How many of you know if you study long, you study wrong? Pull that thing, baby, back, baby, and point it in the right direction and shoot your shot. Fathers, you need to teach your sons and daughters to shoot their shot. To go for it. Go for it. If God is really with us, if God has gone before us and prepared the way, teach your sons and daughters to go for their dreams and to dream big and to do great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. Shoot your shot, because here's the deal. A bad shot in the right direction is better than no shot at all. The right direction. How many of you know God promises to save and deliver every, isn't that true? He promises to save and he promises to deliver and he promises to do exceeding things. But when you read the scripture, every time God gets ready to do something exceeding, he accomplishes that through human action. Noah had to build the ark to save the world. God didn't just go boom and the ark was built. The Israelites were led out of bondage and they get up to the Red Sea. God could have just parted the sea, but he used Moses to hold his staff across it. God always uses human action. And some of us, we're standing right here like this and we're give out and we're shaking. And God is saying, shoot your shot and trust God. I love this. He says, open the window and shoot the shot. And then he says this, back to the story. After he shot his shot, Elisha said, pick up the arrows that are left in your quiver. Pick up the arrows, and he said, strike the ground. So the king grabbed one arrow, struck the ground. He grabbed another arrow, and he struck the ground. He grabbed another arrow, and he struck the ground. And the Bible says that he stopped only having it done it three times. And Elisha got mad at him. Elisha was angry. Why was Elisha angry at that? Because Joash did only the minimum amount and he left arrows in the quiver. And God is saying, don't just shoot one shot. Use all of the arrows that are in your arsenal and keep shooting and keep shooting and keep shooting until you get victory. See, a quiver in those days would hold 10 or 12 arrows. He left them in the quiver. God forbid we leave our weapons in the quiver, trying to play pretty, trying to look pretty, trying to fit in, trying to do what everybody else in church is doing. Come on, y'all. Let's draw it all out. Let's whip the ground over and over again. Let's keep showing up in church. Let's keep reading the Word of God. Even when things aren't going the way we want them to go and our prayers aren't getting answered and people aren't making us happy, let's keep shooting our shot, because sooner or later, by the anointing and the power of God, we're going to hit the bullseye. But you got to keep shooting your shot. Let me tell you this. Just an observation from being a pastor for a lot of years. You know what most of us do in our spiritual lives? We do the bare minimum. We shoot about three shots. We're lost, we're broken, we're hurting, we're messed up, we're struggling with addiction, we're struggling with our past, and finally we come to God, and the first shot we shoot is we accept Jesus and we get saved, which is the best shot. But then the next thing we do is this. We start coming to church a little bit. Now I'm saved. You know what the second shot we shoot is? Now I'm safer than I was before. And the third shot we shoot is this. Well, I'm going to make heaven one of these days. Can I tell you, if we really believe that God wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that we can ask or think, why would we quit short? Why would we only do bare minimum? Why wouldn't we give it everything we've got? Let's keep on keeping on, and let's teach our children to keep on keeping on. Let's shoot for life and life more abundantly. Last thing I'll say today is this. Fathers, we have to understand, as we're celebrating Father's Day, fathers, we must understand the importance, the power, and the potential of our children. We got to understand, you're not just here to feed them, buy them some clothes, send them to school, and hope they make it well in life. Our children, it's so important. I pray that fathers would feel the weight and the responsibility of the blessing that God has given us in sons and in daughters. More, we gotta teach them to be more than just good kids. We gotta teach them more than just to be well-mannered kids. We gotta teach them more than to just be hard workers. We gotta teach them more than just being successful in the eyes of the world. We gotta shoot for raising good, godly, spirit-filled, blood-bought, anointed children of God. Because here's the deal. Here's what I want you to know. If we're talking about shooting arrows, destroying the enemy, you know what your arrows in life are, fathers? You know what your real arrows in life are? Let me just read scripture to you. Psalm 127, verse 4 through 5. Psalm 127, verse 4 through 5. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. You know what our greatest weapon is? Our children. Phew. Our children are our arrows. And you know what? We got to shoot them out in the world when they get to be that certain. I'm about to shoot one out next Friday night, getting him married off. Praise the Lord. Somebody else can deal with him now. Just saying. Shoot them out. Shoot them out. Listen, you'll never be a perfect parent. Listen, your children will never be perfect children. But if we're going to follow the scripture, fathers, point your sons and daughters in the right direction. And when they get that age, shoot them out and let them go, because they will destroy the enemy according to the word of God. They will destroy the enemy. You know how powerful our children are? Did you read that scripture? When you stand at the gates of the enemy, fathers, when we stand at the gates of the enemy, we will not be shamed because of the arrows, because of our sons and daughters. Our sons and daughters will stand up and fight the good fight of faith, and now it will bring victory back on our lives because the way we've stewarded them. Darren, worship team, come help me close this thing down. Here's the bottom line today. It's Father's Day. We celebrate fatherhood. And here's a key thing we can take away. If you're a young father, if you're any kind of father and you're struggling, can I tell you, be like Joash and go find that old father or grandfather and come underneath them and submit to them and ask them to give you some wisdom and help. It's actually the biblical way that the older generation would impart to the younger generation and raise each level up. Go find someone. Let them speak into your life. Fathers and men, live in a way that will advance and bless the next generation. Look at me. Look. How many of you know some kids these days, the biggest obstacle they overcome is the generational curse that fathers passed down to them. Live your life, fathers, in a way that they don't have to fight the whole battle trying to overcome what you did or did not do, but live your life in a way that they can stand on your shoulders and they can go to the next level. Generational blessings is where it's at. Shoot for generational blessings. Can I say this to you? You want generational blessings in your family? That will always require sacrifice. It's not easy. How many of you are like me? I will default to the ways of the flesh when stuff gets tough. Come on, somebody. I will default to the way that I've always done it. It's a sacrifice. It's hard. Cost, and it hurts, but it's worth it all. Teach your children. Better yet, show them. Show them. Teach them about opportunity. Teach them to open the window and teach them to shoot. Teach them to declare war. Teach them and show them how to keep on fighting and to keep on fighting and to keep on fighting and to never, ever give up. Fathers, understand the importance and the power and the potential of your children. Give everything you've got for those kids. We're going to close today with something a little bit different. We're going to close, and if you've noticed down here at the front, I have some arrows for you. I have some arrows for you fathers, and I have some arrows for you men. They're not really special arrows. They came from, I hate to say it, Amazon. They don't even have good points on the end, but they're significant. This is what we're going to wage war with. This is our children. This is our sons. This is our daughters. And devil, you may show up and devil, you may come, but you just need to know, devil, you got a fight on your hands. That I'm going to declare war. I'm going to declare war on fatherhood. I'm going to declare war on manhood. I'm going to declare war, and I'm going to show my children how to fight. I'm going to teach my children to declare war and quit playing some little penny-anny, pussyfoot kind of Christian game, that they are soldiers in the armies of God, and they're going to have to endure some hardship. But if God be for them, who shall be against them? I'm going to teach my kids that no weapon formed against them shall be able to prosper. I want to teach my kids, open the window, kick the glass out, shoot your shot for the glory of God. And I'm going to challenge all of you men and all of you young men as well. Fathers, you're number one, but every other man in this place, you don't always get to have children of your own, but how many know spiritual children matter as well? And your family, children, the children that are around you that don't have fathers, somebody's got to bridge the gap and take them to their heavenly Father. So I'm challenging you fathers, and I'm challenging you men, and you want to be fathers and soon to be fathers. I want you to get up out of your seat and come down here and get you an arrow. I want you to grab this arrow, and I want you just to stand right where you are, kneel where you are, just come grab you an arrow and say, I'm declaring war today. Come on, make your way down right now. Just come on, fathers. Declare war. Declare war. Come get it. Grab your arrow and just stand right where you are. Just stand right where you are. Make room for everybody. Come in close. Come in tight. You tell me God the Father is not pleased with a bunch of men. You tell me God's not pleased with a bunch of fathers. Y'all make your way. Help somebody out next to you. If they ain't got one, give them one. Help each other out. That's what men do. We help each other. Help each other. Help each other. Fathers and men. Fathers and men, old men, young men. Men everywhere. Men rising up and accepting the biblical mandate to be the leaders of their homes. To fight the fight. To go against culture. To pray. To read. To study. Everybody got one. Everybody got one. This is screwing the whole order of the service up, but I don't care. Now here's what I want to say. Men, I've challenged you. And I've challenged you tough, and I've challenged you hard. Now I'm going to challenge you girls out there. No father's ever going to be a perfect father. No husband's going to be a perfect husband. No, I'm telling you, you know what we need? You know what the Bible says? If we're going to talk biblical stuff, the Bible says that God created man, and then he created woman, and out of the bone of Adam, he created woman, and she was supposed to be his helpmeet, not his number one critic, not the one that tells him every time that he's done wrong, not the one that reminds him of the screw-ups in the past, but a helpmeet that would stand by him and pray for him, stand by him and love him, stand by and encourage him. Can I tell you, women, we need you. So here's what I want to ask you women to do. I would tell you to come up here, but we ain't got enough room. So just stand on your feet, women. Extend your hand. That's the old Pentecostal way, just signifying. You know if your husband's down here. You know if your son's down here. You know if your boyfriend's down here. You know who's down here. So I want you to agree with me in prayer that God would take a little common $4 arrow from Amazon and anoint it and use it to pierce the hearts and the minds of every man standing down here today, and that we would leave here different than we came. Agree with me right now. Father, you see it. Father, you know it. Lord, it is your desire. And I say thank you for these men. Thank you for these fathers. Thank you for these grandfathers, Lord, that have had the courage to get up and walk down here today and grab an arrow and say, I am declaring war. Lord, I pray they would declare war on their flesh. They would declare war on their minds. And I pray right now you would fill them with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that they would be challenged in how they're raising their kids. No matter what age or stage their kids are in life, I pray that these men would go home and they would encourage their kids to fight. They would encourage their kids. It's not always going to be comfortable. They would go home and stand and lead their family and love their wives. Bless these men, Lord, today. I pray, God, you would use them to drive back generational curses. Lord, I pray today that generational blessings would be what we celebrate. Generational blessings would be coming on the next generation. God, let these men go home and shoot their shot. Let these men go home and teach their sons and daughters to shoot that shot, to shoot that shot in the right direction. And know that, Lord, you're going to anoint our shot and you're going to bring victory in our lives. Lord, don't let these men stop short. Don't let today be the end. Let today be the beginning where we'll keep striking the ground and we'll keep shooting those arrows and we'll keep fighting the good fight of faith. Father, I rejoice in the fact that this church house is full of men ready to fight. Lord, you see their efforts today. So open up the windows of heaven and anoint them. Anoint them with the Spirit of God and let them leave here today changed. Families changed. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, put your hands together. Give the Lord some love. We'll close.